Father in heaven, we say, hallowed is your name. You're the God from everlasting to everlasting. You're the God of Abraham and Isaac and Rachel, Elizabeth and Mary and Paul and James. And you're our God today, our Father, who art in heaven. May your kingdom come here in this place this morning. Would your will be done? Father, might we be open to your leading and your directing, a greater understanding of your kingdom and what it means to live that out. As you, Father, give us every day and meet our needs, you provide for us. God, may we as a people, may we understand that maybe we are the answer of that prayer for others who are maybe struggling in our community. And God, forgive us. Have mercy on us. As we forgive others and have mercy on those who have sinned, trespassed against us. Deliver us, God, into your presence. Keep us from temptation for your glory and for the good of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is good to have you all here. Happy Father's Day. And I can now, as I'm a grandfather, I've been wished that as well, and that's really fun. And I don't know why I don't have a picture of him this morning, so I could show you how great he is. Little Max is doing amazing. We were FaceTiming with him the other day. I was telling some people this morning, he does a great pterodactyl. He screams and sort of squawks like crazy. It's really great. Hey, that last song that we sang there, great new song, that was actually written and produced by our worship arts team here at the church. A number of the musicians and Kim wrote that. And what's interesting about it is that there you go. Can you hear that out there? They're sitting out there somewhere resting. So with that, what's interesting, there's been a contest on Praise 106.5. And it's for locally written stuff. And they made it through to the semifinals. I'm not sure if they're through to the finals or yet not. Are they? Do we know? Are they in the finals or is it still semis? Anyone here? This is still the semis. Thank you, Shirley. So we would like them to get into the finals. Why not? Right? Go to Praise 106.5. Somewhere on there's a voting thing. You guys can figure all that out. There's some really great opportunities for them if they do win this. It's not a money prize or anything like that. It's an opportunity to lead people into God's presence at a couple of conferences and things like that. And it would be a pretty cool deal. They lead us well. We'd love to see them maybe get that. All right, can you do that for me? All right, whew, good. All right, we are in the middle of this series, Walking with Jesus, and I'm going to be speaking today. Pastor Steve will be back, and he'll be finishing this series off in the last two Sundays. I think it's two Sundays of June, and he's going to be dealing with grief. Grief is something we all know of, something we all experience, and it's a very challenging thing to go through. And so he's going to be speaking on that. We're going to hear some amazing stories of how God has helped people, and so we're looking forward to that. So this morning, I'm going to be talking to you as a Hugh man, all right, to humans, all right? So we're going to be kind of doing that. It's a Father's Day thing, but we're not just talking to fathers. We're talking to all of us, but kind of looking at the story from a men's angle. We'll be getting to that in just a minute. As I age, as a man who is now a grandfather, one of the things that's interesting is I don't hear as well. I regret how I treated my father-in-law as he was getting older, and he didn't hear well. I can remember many times, I would like to say it was just teasing, but it may have been mocking, when he couldn't hear, and he wanted the music turned down, and there were restaurants that he didn't want to go because the ambient noise was too loud, and I just wasn't the most gracious son-in-law in those moments. He was fun to tease. Hearing aids are an option for some, right? Amazing hearing aids today. They're awesome. You know, you can hardly see them. You know, as you get older, you might need that a little bit to hear just a little bit. When I was younger and I couldn't hear, though, I loved this. Have you ever had this? When, like, you got all this wax built up in your ear and you can't hear and you use that as an excuse not to be able to hear Dad? Anyways, I would go to the doctor and they would get this big syringe out, right? Filled with, I think, warm water. I don't know if it was warm or cold or anything like that. They put the little thing on the side of your face and under your ear, and they would plunge into your ear like this water, and it was like making all this noise, and all of a sudden this massive hunk of wax would come falling out, and I love that stuff. You may or may not find that on YouTube. What? Yeah. Do you know, spiritually speaking, as we get older, we should actually be able to hear a little better, right? Wouldn't you think? We should be getting a little more attuned to our Father who art in heaven. But I know that that's not always the case, that sometimes we struggle and sometimes we trip. And this story is going to help us out with that. So what does it mean to walk with Jesus as a sort of a human? Like, what does it look like to be human? I want to share a little quote from you from a guy that Steve and I might just have a little bit of a bromance over, from Dallas Willard. He's a guy that we often quote, has a great phrase. It says, we can become like Christ or Jesus by doing one thing. By following him in the overall style of life he chose for himself. And isn't that what we did as kids? We kind of followed our fathers, our mothers, and we started mimicking and we become more like them. Some of you are going, no, I didn't. I was all independent. I saw that little head shake over there. All right. We do this by following, right? If we're going to do this by Jesus, we got to figure out who he is. We got to know who he is. We need to know the story in order to become like him. Now listen, it's cute when our little kids, you know, all of a sudden you see them like reacting and physically moving just like you. That is so cute. But here's the deal. They grow up and then they start mimicking and acting just like you. Not that you do this. But do you know what I'm saying? Like what comes out of your mouth, the attitudes, right, that are going on in here that kind of dictate and lead your life around, they start following. And the way that we do this with Jesus is by getting to know him, by discovering who Jesus is, what he did, what he didn't do, the motivations behind what he did or didn't do. You see, if you don't know him, you can't really follow him. So I want to encourage you with that this morning. Nothing replaces getting to know Jesus. We find the story that we're going to look at this morning as told by John. John was one of those people that followed Jesus around. He could have been maybe called a keener, right? Like one of those first followers. I mean, he was right there with Jesus at all times. People call him, you know, the most loved, you know, beloved disciple, right? You'll read that in John numerous times. So if you've got a Bible and you want to follow along, or a smartphone or an iPad or anything like that that's got the Bible on it, John chapter 9. All right? Can you go there? Here we go. Now, I'm just gonna start this for you. We can't read the entire thing. John chapter 9. As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a blind man from birth. Little suspense for you, all right? Okay? We may hit that again later on, we may not. I want to share with you this story. There's a number of characters through the story, but I want to share with you sort of four different characters. We're going to look at this story through the example and sort of the response and the lifestyle of men, all right, from their sort of perspectives this morning, this being Father's Day. But I believe as all humans. I don't know why we have that, and I'm not trying to downplay women or anything like that. I'm just saying you can all listen in this morning. That's all I'm trying to do. Four roles. First role is the son. the Son. Now, what's interesting is he was a son, but he was also a man. And he was the main, or is, if you like, the main character. The Son plays a huge role through this story in John chapter 9. We also have the religious, all right? The religious people in this story, they were called the Pharisees, and there was interaction. They talked about the synagogue, which plays a really big part in this story. And the religious were the antagonists, all right? Or, if you like, the villains in the story. And there's also the dad, right? There's the dad and mom, but again, from sort of the man perspective today, the dad, and I hate to say it, but in this story, the dad is kind of like villain 2.0. It's crazy. If you don't know the story, just listen in. And then, of course, we have Jesus, and this sounds really weird to say this, but Jesus was, in this story, is the supporting actor. Can I say that? I think we'll understand it as we get going through the story, okay? So the cast, that's them. And what is their role in the story? Well, the Son, as we heard earlier, was born blind. Hit it again. There we go. There's a little delay going on. I don't know if we'll do that again. All right, so he was born blind, which created all kinds of confusion. All kinds of confusion. As the disciples were going along with Jesus, they saw this man born blind, and they were like, who sinned? Who sinned that this guy is blind? Right? Like, why does that come to their mind? But it did. Who sinned? And you see, back in that day, if someone had some sort of physical malady, woohoo, you give me a mic. All right, and they believed that there was something like that, right? That they had sinned, or someone had sinned, that there was some sort of curse. And I know we sort of go, oh, that's they didn't know any better. Oh, yeah? Didn't Deborah Garcia tell us that that's what they think down in Mexico with kids who are handicapped? Do you not sometimes wonder when things are going bad, like, what have I done wrong? Like, I know you don't say it out loud, but it goes on, doesn't it? That's a natural thing. It's a very natural thing. But Jesus says nobody sinned. Matter of fact, the story goes on, and Jesus, he spits on the ground. Male thing to do. Spits on the ground, makes up a little bit of mud, right? Puts it on the guy's eyes and says, you need to go wash, which is another male thing to do. All right, it's okay, men, you should wash, all right? Before dinner, all that kind of stuff. He goes and washes the pool of Siloam, he's healed. He's healed. He comes home seeing, and the neighbors are confused. Isn't this the guy that we saw on the side of the road? Well, he kind of looks like him, but it couldn't be. That guy's blind. There was a lot of confusion going on. And you know what? For the neighbors, that's a legit question. Because if he was blind, how is he going to see? Like, how is that going to happen? Seems like a very legit question. Now, there wasn't just murmuring. This is what intrigues me. It wasn't just the neighbors sort of murmuring, you know, amongst themselves and talking, you know, in hushed sort of tones. No, it went further than that. And he declared to them, listen, I am the man you think I am. I am the man who is blind, who is begging on the street corner. I am that man. And this guy came along and he spit on the ground and he mixed it up. He put this on my eyes. It was really weird, but, you know, I would like to see. And then he sent me off to the pool of Siloam and said, wash. And when I did that, I could see. Now, that's a crazy story. And as the neighbors heard this, they did something that was really fascinating to me. It's never happened in my career, by the way. All right? Never happened in my career. The neighbors brought this guy who was healed to the religious leaders to find out what's going on. Psst, he was healed. That's what's going on, right? There's no secret there, but this was kind of weird for them. So off they went to the religious leaders, the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they were like, well, hey, what happened? How did you receive your sight? And he says, you know, same thing. He tells the story, and And the Pharisees, or religious leaders, are kind of like, okay, they're unmoved. They're not really shaken by this. They're like, well, that can't happen. It's a Sabbath. It's Sunday. Can't do that. Any godly man would never be able to do something like that on the Sabbath. And it blows my mind that someone who could be blind and begging, who now is seeing, that the first thing they go to is some sort of ritual rule that they have made up, and they are not moved by what they're experiencing. Amazes me. How could this be? This man cannot be from God. So we're now entering into the phase of the religious people. And the religious people, were defiant and they were argumentative. We've already experienced that a little bit in the story. They didn't celebrate. And they were actually divided. Some said, well, I mean, obviously this guy's healed. But you're right, he's not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. Well, what do we do with this? How do we process this? And so they were divided, and they were even arguing within themselves. Not just with the son, the man who was healed. You see, their system, their religious order of how God can act, well, it just didn't quite fit how Jesus chose to act. And if you're familiar with the stories that Matthew wrote, Mark wrote, Luke wrote, and John wrote, you recognize, you've seen this many, many a time where there was this struggle. You know, it says there, even though they went through all of that in that argument, they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. They were still doubting it. So, mom and dad get summoned, all right? Now, dad in this story, as I said, is like villain or, you know, antagonist 2.0, because dad is seriously convicted, and he, frankly, I got to tell you, as a dad, is messed up. It's crazy. They ask, hey, is this your son? Well, yeah. He was born blind. I don't know how he received his sight. You know, washing their hands, trying to keep distance from their son. Ask him. He's of age, right? So we know that the son is now of age. You know, who knows exactly how old he is, but he is clearly a man. Ask him. Now listen, I don't understand how this could be the response as a parent who would have a child who had suffered that kind of malady, blind. Can you not imagine how every day you'd be wishing that somehow the eyes would open and they'd be able to see? Like every day, can you not imagine that? Like that would just be, wouldn't it? I mean, they didn't live in the era where now we've got all these kinds of medical advances where they can do things that are just crazy. I would think that would be right at the front of who they are. But here's what we discover. We discover that there's an issue with their religion. There's a struggle they're having with sort of status keeping. What's everyone else going to think? There were some issues with the church. They were afraid. It tells in the story that they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. They'd be banished. Son is blind. Religious people can't seem to handle the fact that he was miraculously healed. Who are you going with? If we ever do something like that, we hope and pray your sons and daughters, they do get healed. We will celebrate it. It could happen on Sunday. We'll be good with that. But somehow, they couldn't be good with that. They asked him again, religious leaders. Hey, we know Jesus is a sinner, clearly. And the man's response is, whether he's a sinner or not, I have no clue. But one thing that I do know, I was blind and now I see. And my mom and dad just affirm that even though they want nothing to do with me. I was blind, but now I see. And I got to read this next few verses for you. It starts at verse 27. It says, he answered, I have told you already, you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? This is the son speaking, the man speaking. Do you want to become his disciples too? I love that. Kind of in your face. Then he hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, and yet he listens to the godly person who does his will. Uh-oh. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And threw him out. That's what we do, right? When we're stuck, when we realize we've lost the argument, we just raise our level. We yell a little more, like get a little more intensity and try to intimidate. That's what we do. That's what they did. It's brutal. Jesus re-enters the story. Says he heard that this man had been thrown out, right? Had been banished, had been sent away by the religious leaders. And somehow, mom and dad were okay with it. Jesus wasn't okay with it. Jesus doing Jesus things. Healed him, right? Which, frankly, started all his problems. That's interesting. But when he was kicked out, it says he sought him out. He didn't leave him alone. He went after him. Reminds me of the story of the prodigal, right? Father, every day, going out there, waiting with anticipation for his son to come home. Jesus, the posture of God is that he seeks us out. He finds us. Do you? And he asks the guy, hey, do you believe in the Son of Man? So this is Jesus asking the son, the man, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the guy's response is, well, who's that? Who is he? You know, tell me so that I may believe. I mean, he was all in. He was all in. He was blind. He knew it. He could see now. He knew it. And he was all right with it. And he was all right with the man who did that for him. I mean, it shattered all of the normalities. Like, this just doesn't happen. We've already talked about that. Who gets healed of being blind? So he was all right with it. He was all in. Jesus had this man's full attention. And Jesus responded to him, well, the Son of Man, you actually have seen him because I'm actually that man. I'm that guy. Wow. His response, Lord, I believe you and I worship you. I believe and I worship you. It's crazy. Now, this is a crazy story. Whenever we hear and discover a story in the Bible and see Jesus interacting with these lives that are lived out in full color, it gives us an opportunity to see some things. So let's go back through the story quickly and just be reminded of maybe some of the takeaways. The son believed and his life was never the same. This man had been physically and spiritually blind, and Jesus completely turned it around. He believed, but my question is, but where are you at? Ah, well, if God reached down and healed me, I'd follow him, really? Are you sure? Because not everyone in the Bible did. People who were following Jesus, and he healed a whole bunch of lepers. Do you remember the story? And they all went away except for one. 9 out of the 10, 90% said, thank you very much, I'm out of here. They just bolted. They didn't follow him. They didn't care. They were just glad they didn't have leprosy. Do you believe in him? Do you trust him like this man? Do you believe? Is your belief, faith, and trust in Jesus life-changing? I mean, this man believed, and he was never the same. How about you? Second caste members, the religious, they became spiritually deaf. I find it hard to believe, you know, in the story and how it started. I mean, how does this happen? I don't think religious people start off, and in this way. I think they kind of get hardened over time in some way. You know, is there humility there? It doesn't really sound like it. You know, we're supposed to walk humbly with God, but I'm not sure they're really doing that. Were they going in with a clean slate? I don't know. But they certainly started to realize they had a better plan than God, and we do this all the time as humans. But how they got there, I'm not sure. Jesus, who brought freedom and hope and mercy, he was for justice, he was for the underdog, he was for the marginalized. I think we need to, as people, ask the Spirit to give us ears to hear, to unplug our hearing, give us some sort of spiritual hearing aid. Oh yeah, that's called the Holy Spirit. Who will teach us, that we would be open to it, that he would soften our hearts, that we'd be open to what God wants to do. Dads, listen. We can become hard and completely miss out, like the dad of this story. Men, we can do that. We've got to be so careful. Dads, we need to discover who and what really matters. I mean, this little baby, you were desperate for him to see as a dad. This is what it would be. But somehow the membership of the synagogue, the status, right, of this people, they didn't want to be kicked out because they'd be known. Oral stories went out really fast, just like social media. Boom, gone, out there. Whoa, they got kicked out of the synagogue. I wonder why. Well, I heard that their son got healed and they didn't want to acknowledge it. What? That's real. We can get so hung up on status. Humankind, us as people, have made some incredibly destructive decisions out of crowd sway. Oh, let's call it what we say the kids have, peer pressure. Well, we don't want to say that as adults. We're beyond that. No, we're not. Status and standing means a lot to us. The crowd is fickle. Status is fleeting and ever-changing. I want to encourage you to look and live for an audience of one. An audience of God. Live for that and that only. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our God does not change his standards. It's not shifting shadows. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He loves you so desperately that his son went to the cross for you. Has your best interest at heart. Flat out loves you. Can you live for that? Because if you don't, you start making stupid decisions. Incredibly crazy decisions. Jesus. Well, again, Jesus was just doing Jesus things. I didn't know how else to say it a second time. I couldn't change the little tagline after it because this is just what he does. When everyone has turned their backs, the neighbors, the religious leaders, dad and mom, Jesus goes and seeks them out. Listen, everyone can turn their back on you, and sometimes that's exactly what it feels like, but Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, never does. They continue to pursue you and seek you out. Can we do that? As followers of him, Dallas Willard, right? Remember, as followers of him, can we do that? I know I need that from God. And I'm so grateful to have it. Am I willing to join him and do that? Marginalized, those who are struggling, need men and women like you and I, to seek them out, to care, to love, not judge. I think we can all agree there's some attitudes in this story that we should probably not align ourselves with. Yeah. And some that we should probably lean into, press in. Let's look back at our opening statement from Dallas Willard. We can become like Christ by doing one thing, by following him in the overall style of life he chose for himself. And there is no life like it. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this story, a very real story, one that it confounds us, it confuses me, and yet I could be prone to being like that because I can be judgmental. I can make up my own things. God, may we not. May this church, may we become like the man in this story. That we would see and believe, metaphorically and maybe even just physically. God, would you come, your kingdom come, and bring healings in this church? But God, not only physical healings, but would you bring spiritual healings? Would you give us ears to hear as we grow older, rather than going with the pattern of hearing less, we would hear more. And we follow the example of your son, Jesus, and we would seek those who have been pushed to the margins, who have been knocked down by life. God, your love, it's amazing. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the story, for the life of Paul, God. He